Heavenly Father, again, we come to you with grateful hearts. We're asking that Holy Spirit now will anoint us afresh. And Lord God, that we will hear from your throne that you have us to know today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I get into the message, I would like everyone to just kind of look around the room. Just take a few moments and look around the room. We have beautiful flowers in the windows, beautiful chandeliers. Look around. Now, I would like you to look at your neighbors, both the right and the left of you. I would like you to look around. The title of the sermon today is "The Church Has Left the Building." This is a building. This is a place that we come and worship together in. Amen. This is a holy place. But you are the church. You, every single person in this room, is an individual church. You are the church. And sometimes I think we forget that. We say, we're going to church. We're going to worship. You're the church. Where do you go? What do you do? You're the church. And we just heard how important it is that each church gathers together to worship. Amen. And we just read that it's important that we do this so that we can help one another, encourage one another, learn from one another. But there is a purpose that you and I have in bringing the church together. Amen? It's not just to learn, not just to worship, not just to pray, not just to sing, but we have a purpose. Now, there are many ways that you, the church, might leave the building. There are some positive ways that we can leave the building, and then there are some negative ways that the church will leave this building. There are times when people get upset at the other little churches. Remember, each person here is a church. Have you ever gotten mad at the other churches in this building? What are you supposed to do when you get mad at the other churches in this building? Supposed to pray, right? We're supposed to forgive one another, right? But if I harbor resentment about another church that is in this building, I might walk out of those doors and not come back. And Jesus said that we're supposed to forgive one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. Now, that's not saying that you have to like every little thing about everybody. That would be unrealistic, wouldn't it? But remember, if each person in this room, in this building, is a church, if you get angry with someone and you decide that you're not going to come through those doors again, you've actually put the faith in that person and you've lost the faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore you have left the building. And that's a negative way to leave the building. Titus warns us that we're not supposed to get into disputes about genealogies or different types of doctrines. I shared in Sabbath school today that as I was first listening to different ministers, as the Lord was bringing us into the Adventist movement, oh, I could listen to Sean Boonstra every day of the week. But the first time I heard Doug Batchelor, I got mad. And it was silly that I got mad. We say all the time that God set us up to become Adventist because there was a day that I would not walk out of my door without my earrings, my necklaces, my bracelets, my rings, my anklets, all had to match. Everything had to be color coordinated. It all had to be there. And there was a period of time that I actually got tired of wearing jewelry, which was a shock to me. But I got tired of wearing it. Now here, I'm learning things about the Sabbath. We're learning things about the state of the dead. And Doug Batchelor is up there preaching about wearing jewelry. Do you know I got mad at him over that? But then I had to laugh at myself and I said, why am I so mad? I quit wearing it anyway. It doesn't matter. So what did I do? I had to face myself. I was getting ready to argue. And I said, but that'd be silly. You know what? He has things I need to learn. So guess who I watch? I even have him on the DVR. Sometimes when I'm really tired and I can't read, I love to listen to Doug Batchelor today. I tape his sermons and listen to him. But if we begin to get in a place in our walk that we start to dispute against one another about our history, about one teacher after another. Even in our Sabbath school lesson today, we saw how dangerous it was that we prefer one teacher or one teaching over another. If we're doing that to the point that we can no longer worship together, the church has left the building in a negative way. And unfortunately, that will cause some people not to come back, not to come through these doors again. It will be a sad thing if one of you churches decides, because you didn't like something that was said, or you didn't like a particular individual, that you walk out of that door and you never come back to worship together. Because didn't Hebrews tell us that we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of the brethren? And we're supposed to come together to encourage one another, to grow together, to learn together, to help each other. But if I get so tied up in me and I walk out those doors and decide I'm not coming back, I've left the building. The church has left the building in a negative way. Another reason that the church might leave the building in a negative way is because some of you individual churches may feel as though, what am I doing here? What purpose? I come to church, I sing the songs, I hear the prayers, but what am I doing here? You know, I'm kind of a pushy person. At one time I was not. At one time I was a little wallflower, leave me alone. Believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, I still kind of would like to be that way, but God had other plans. Amen. So I have learned that one thing that the first minister of the first church that I went to said to me, Gloria, if you see a need, it's up to you to see to it it's done. Whether you do it yourself or you get somebody else to do it, it's up to you to see that it gets done. My mother had that same philosophy. By the time we were 12 years old, she never did any of the laundry for any of us children anymore. If we wanted something washed, we better get in there and wash it, dry it, and iron it. Now, it helped my older brother a lot when he went to college. Guess what? He got a side job because he could iron really well. Really well. Some of his classmates couldn't do it so well, so, Keith, I'll pay you to do my laundry. And, hey, this is cool. I get to go to school. And he was right here at Lamar. He was still living at home, but guess what? He came and he did the laundry. He paid my mom a little bit extra for the water and for the utilities. He was earning money while he was going to school. Because my mother also had that same principle that that minister had, that if you see something that needs to be done, it's up to you to see to it gets done. But if you, an individual church, feels as though you're not being fulfilled or there's nothing for you to do, it means your eyes are closed. Because there is a lot to do. How you're going to do it will be up to the Lord, but there's a lot to do. I'm going to brag on some of our young people right now. Do you know that in the fellowship hall, we have the young people that are packing everything and getting ready for the street ministry today? I'm not in there. I had asked them to do it. They've been faithful to help me every month. They're in there packing everything and getting it ready. So when we're ready to leave here to go to the street, it's all going to be done. They don't even ask me every little thing anymore. They see what needs to be done. They know to do it. And I can trust that it's done. And I thank the Lord for that. Amen? Amen. But have you ever wondered if there's something that you want to do, or if you wondered, what can I do? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And maybe you can begin to get a little bit of an idea of what maybe you can begin to do. So that when you, the church, leave the building, you're not leaving it unfulfilled. You're not leaving here empty. You're leaving here with a purpose. Romans chapter 12, we're going to begin with verse 1. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Not a lump on the log, but a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do you know that God says it's reasonable for you to do something? It's unreasonable for you not to do something? So it is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How often do you really pray? Remember, you're the church. You need to be anointed and appointed by God on a daily basis. Do you pray? Do you read the Word so the Word can change your mind? If not, you might walk out of this building and decide, I'm unfulfilled and I'm not coming back. But God just told us that we're supposed to have our mind renewed and we're supposed to be transformed. I'm changing all the time. Praise the Lord. I've had to make some adjustments in my life since the major wreck 5.5 years ago. I can't bow my head low because if I bow it low, it snaps back and then goes into spasms. So I've had to learn it's okay for me just to close my eyes. That's better than my head jerking back and forth. Amen? But I pray. I do what God has called me to do. Because I know it's important for me to do. Let's look at verse 4. We have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, if you're called to preach or to prophesy, what does it say to do? Let us do it in proportion of our faith. Or ministry. And this word is taken out of context a lot. Did you know that you, the church, when you walk out of these doors, you are a minister as well as a church? When I go to the grocery store, I try to get acquainted with the clerks. It's important for me to try to go to the same line for a while and learn who it is that's checking me out. And so we begin to communicate. And if they're having a hard time, they're not ashamed or afraid if I whisper to them and say, can I pray for you? Yes, please. Sometimes I pray right on the spot. Other times they know I'm praying for them. But I get to know them by name. They get to know me by name. I'm ministering to them right there in the grocery store. The same thing when you go out to eat. How kind are you to the people that serve you? Do you fuss? Are you cranky? Then if that's what happens when you, the church, leave the building, that's what they see. A fussy, cranky person. You're the church and you're called to minister, and minister means to help. To serve. However you are called to do that, it's important that you do that. It also says in verse 7, if you teach, teach. Well, I don't like that Sabbath school teacher like I like the others. Have you ever asked if you could teach? Have you ever challenged yourself to teach? Try it sometime and see how that might change your idea in your mind about the teachers of Sabbath school. It just might change you a little bit. He who exhorts in exhortation. Craig had said that it's his job to do his best to make at least one person smile every day. You'd be surprised when he comes out with, "Hello, youngin'," how many people get the biggest smile on their face? He has lifted them up and helped them to smile on that day. Puts a little bit of happiness. There was a lady in the store the other day when he said that. We were in the ABC this week. When he said that, she came up and gave him a big hug and said, "Thank you. You reminded me I'm not too old and decrepit. I'm okay. I'm a youngin'. And she smiled and the other people smiled too. So it's important. If you are called to brighten the day of someone else, brighten the day. Say something nice. Be kind. If you have the ability to give with liberality. If you have the ability to lead with diligence. If you have the ability to show mercy. If you have the ability to be cheerful, be cheerful. You see, there are a lot of things that you, the individual church, can do when you walk out of this door. I want you to remember, again, you are the church. This is a building that the church gathers together to worship, but you're the church. And every time you walk out that door, the church walks out this door. You are sometimes the only Jesus people will see. Or they may be the first picture of Jesus that people will see. Now, I know that puts a little bit of pressure on us, doesn't it? That means even when I'm not feeling the best, I need to remember that it isn't all about me. It is about them. And you are looking at a person that at one time in her life, "Buddy, you better make me happy or you're going to pay a price. If it took me 5 years to get back at you, I was going to get you. I might not beat you up, but I was going to twist your emotions so bad that you would never forget what I did." And proof of that was our 30th high school reunion when part of the class stayed on the far side of the room because they remembered what I did. Part of them couldn't place me because when we went, if we had a position, we had to put that in front. And Pastor Gloria Lee Lindstrom Harder did not fit with what they knew about me in high school. Halfway through, this whole little crowd turns around and goes, "Oh my God!" And I could say, "Yeah, isn't he good?" But it was also sad that that's what they remembered me about me 30 years later. So I'm telling you, there was a time in my life when you mattered nothing to me except for to make me happy. I'm so glad God changed me, amen? Because now what I think about is, how can I help you? Not how can I hurt you? And you, the church, that's what you're supposed to do. When you, the church, leave this building today, what are you going to do? We have programs, we have plans, there's activities. But if you're not a part of that, I want you to understand you still have a mighty purpose. Every single one of us are called to bring the message of Jesus Christ to someone else. You have a story to tell. And maybe it's by smiling at a person first. It might be the first thing you're going to do is validate them as a human being. How many of you encounter people that are begging for stuff when you go to the store or you go to a restaurant? Do you know sometimes what they want more than anything else is for you to look them in the face and say hello? They might ask you for a dollar or two or something else. But if you say, "No, I don't do that, I will buy you a meal." "Oh, okay, but thanks," because you looked them in the eye and you said, "That's a person. That's not a thing. That's not a junk addict or a drug addict. That's not a drunk. That's a person. That's a living soul that needs a touch of Jesus." And if that's what you can do, that's what you can do. We have a new phone directory. It's getting fine-tuned, But maybe it would be a good idea if each individual church got those numbers and started calling each other. How well do you really know the other churches in this building? How well do you know what they're going through? Now, this is not for a gossip session, but it will be for a prayer session. So it's important for you to remember that you, the church, have a job to do. And that job is to bring Jesus Christ to the hurting, to the dying, to the lost. That job, according to Hebrews, is also to encourage the other churches that are in this building. Help one another. Help us to grow. Help us to learn. Help us to realize that God forgives everything that we bring before Him. And please learn and study. They did a survey not too long ago, and did you know that 60% of people who profess to be Christians cannot even name 5 of the 10 commandments? How many can you recite? Okay. If we teach so much about the Sabbath, we also need to teach the other 9, don't we? So, excuse me, it might be a challenge to you to go back over them and to memorize them and to learn them. Don't be part of that 60%. Be part of the 40 that knows them all. Amen? I'd like to recite to you, these are actually 2 songs that were put together, but I would like to share this with you. Sabbath school has ended. Praise and worship said to begin. Saints and sinners file in, believing that God might move again. The bread of life is broken for those who choose to taste. The final prayers are spoken. It's time to leave this place. The church has left the building. The fields are on fire. They are looking for an answer. They're watching who you are. Your life is like a billboard. Let it shine again. The church has left the building, so light it up for Him. They are walking right beside you with dry and empty cups. They are thirsty for an answer. They're desperate for a touch. So walk with your eyes wide open, aware of all the people in need. You are the only Jesus some people may ever see. The church has left the building. The fields are on fire. They're looking for an answer. They're watching what you are. Your life is like a billboard. Let it shine again. The church has left the building, so let it shine for Him. The church has left the building. It's not inside these doors. They are on the mission field serving others for the Lord. They have gathered here on Sabbath to be refreshed and learn some more. But when the Lord says go, they're willing to bring Him out of these doors. The church has left the building. They have gone where they are called. The church has left the building. The fields are on fire. They are looking for an answer. They're watching who you are. Your life is like a billboard. Let it shine again. The church has left the building. So light it up for Him. Remember, you are the church. This is a building. Let's light it up for Him. Amen. Yeah.